Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Whether it's Baker's Simple Truth Turkey or mac and cheese with Murray's English Cheddar or pie made with fresh Cosmic Crisp apples, there are many dishes we look forward to sharing during the holidays. And Baker's has all the fresh ingredients you need to turn today's holidays into tomorrow's memories. Baker's, fresh for everyone.
Choose from a great selection of digital coupons and use them up to 5 times in one transaction. Check our app for details. Baker's, fresh for everyone.
Here's what's cooking on today's Sports Stove podcast. We're going to be talking a lot of NFL. Our pick sixes for the week, playoff picture, dark horse teams. We got Twitter polls to talk about as well. Of course, we'll cover John Madden, some college football, Major League Baseball Hall of Fame, and so much more. That's what's cooking on today's Sports Stove podcast.
From Belly Up Sports and the Belly Up Podcast Network, you're listening to the Sports Stove Podcast with your host, Vince Stover.
Welcome in to a new edition of the Sports Stove Podcast. We are live tonight. We are on Facebook, we are on YouTube, and we are on Colorcast tonight as well. I am joined by my dad, Dale Stover. Dad, how you doing?
Doing good. A lot going on here with sports as we wrap up the year. And, of course, we've got the fantasy football championships this week, and you and I are both in that, so that's exciting.
We are in fantasy football. Of course, you and I are playing against each other in one league. You're in another league that I'm in also, but you're in the championship game. I am not. And so nonetheless, I'm not super excited about that, but that's okay. It'll all be just fine. Dad, let's talk about a tragic loss here this week. John Madden coming off of a special on John Madden this weekend. And surprisingly enough, he passed away this week. Talk to me a little bit about John Madden and what he meant to the game of football, and kind of what your thoughts are of John Madden.
Well, John Madden was, of course, as they said, a great ambassador for football. I think he was a great football coach. And, of course, his video game has been one of the most famous ever. And I think all those things have helped promote the NFL and football, but nothing more than his broadcasting. I think his broadcasting really changed things. I did watch the special on him, and it was very interesting that at first he was very opposed to being a broadcaster because he just didn't like the way they did things and portrayed things. And then he understood that he could change that. And he really did. It wasn't just entertaining. I mean, it was great education for people about things, but it was very entertaining with his personality and the things that he did there. Of course, the fact that he was a coach really added to all the information that he had. But he was a broadcaster just like he was a coach, very bombastic, very outspoken, and was great. As I think back, just so many unique things about him. But to me, everything on the broadcast changed when he got the Telestrator. That was just amazing. I mean, he added a lot to it. And I was thinking back today of different things. And as a Packer fan, I think he was the first one that called Frankie Winters the old bag of donuts. And I remember him on the Telestrator circling his stomach and said, "That's just a bag of donuts there." And, of course, he made a lot of players famous like that.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. My kids are younger, and all they know about them is video games. And, you know, sadly, that's they should be known by more things than that. But, yeah, it's intriguing to kind of see where they are with it all. And, you know, you look at him and Pat Summerall, and they were a great team. And they really, in my opinion, made football more exciting to watch and more fun to watch as well. And so it's sad to see them go. You know, especially weird timing, right? We talked about that. You had the special on him this past week, and it's just strange to kind of see how that all shook out.
It's probably a great way to honor him, though. It would have been maybe a little more awkward to have the special after his passing. I mean, I think it was one of the ways it was a great honor. The way they did the special and had him sitting there reacting to the things that he saw and what people said, that was really neat.
Yeah, sure was. And his legacy will continue on through the video game. But sadly, I just don't think people understand how influential he was to watching football as well. And obviously, he was a great coach also. And so sad to see for sure. Let's get into some NFL conversation tonight. We've got a lot going on within the NFL right now. I want to start off with some polls that I had this week, and that'll lead us into some more conversation. Let's start off with a poll. We started off with Super Bowl polls, asking people who they thought would they had the most confidence in each conference. So, Dad, I'll ask you first. The AFC, I gave three teams and then the other option. So the three teams were Buffalo, Kansas City, New England, and then other was the other option. And, again, the question is, who do you have the most confidence in from the AFC to go to the Super Bowl?
I would say Kansas City.
100%. I agree with you on that. They won the poll. 56% of our Twitter pollsters chose Kansas City. 23% chose Buffalo. 11% chose other, and 10% chose New England. The only person who commented under the other said the Miami Dolphins, and I responded with, "Well, that I think they're more of a dark horse team, more than a confidence team, but." The avid Dolphin fan, the commissioner from TSS Fantasy, he said they've won seven straight. They haven't played anybody good yet. So you don't know how good they are, and they're going to be great. They're going to win the Super Bowl. So, is what it is. But, Kansas City won the poll. NFC, again, three teams. I chose, Dallas, Green Bay, Tampa Bay, and other in the NFC. Who do you have the most confidence in the NFC to make the Super Bowl?
I really think it's Green Bay. Of course, we're Packer fans, but I think the way they've played and the way things are going, and again, if they get home field advantage up there, you know, this weekend, everybody's going to see what home field advantage is like in Green Bay when it's single digits. And I have the most confidence in Green Bay of those three, especially.
Yeah, they won the poll again. 50% said Green Bay, 29% said Tampa, 17% said Dallas, 4% said other, meaning that it seems like it's pretty much a front runner. When I look at the NFC, Dad, Green Bay and Tampa are the two teams I look at as the most likely to go anywhere. I think Dallas is really talented. I've said that all year. But I have the most confidence in Green Bay and Tampa. I probably have similar confidence in both of them, honestly. I think Tampa, they've been there. They've got maybe the best quarterback of all time, leading the way. They've got a lot of experience. They got a lot of talent. So I trust in Tampa. I also trust in Green Bay, the way their defense has played. Their special teams has been horrendous, but Mason Crosby's been actually making field goals. So that's a change of pace. But so those are the two teams that I really have the most confidence in as well. Where I live and where you live, honestly, the Bengals are finally getting a little bit of run. You know, I live in Lexington, you're up in Ohio, so you hear a lot about them. You know, we asked this question a few times throughout the season, but how confident are you that Cincinnati can make a run at the Super Bowl?
I definitely think they got a good chance to win the division, and I think they can win a game or so in the playoff. It wouldn't really shock me if they get in the AFC Championship game. I don't know that they would go to the Super Bowl yet. It would depend probably on the other teams. But again, I think depending on there are several teams this time, depending on if they get home field, Cincinnati has a good home field, a good fan base, and could help them a little bit. Again, I think they're a little young to go through all of it, but I think it wouldn't totally shock me if they were in the AFC Championship game.
They have a really good offense. They have an okay defense. I think they're still a little bit away from the Super Bowl. Someone on Twitter asked, you know, 3 years over or under that Cincinnati's a legit Super Bowl contender. I said under to that. What do you think about that?
Yes, I think where they're headed, if they stay healthy with the talent they have, if they make a few of the right moves, free agent wise or whatever in the offseason, they're definitely headed in the right direction.
Yeah, you know, I look at it, you've got teams like Buffalo and Kansas City who are already there. You've got Miami, you've got the Chargers, you've got New England, all of which are going to be getting better. So it's going to be a tough road in the years to come, but Cincinnati seems like they're right there where they need to be, definitely, I think at least, moving in the right direction. It's their conference to win. We've talked about it before. If they beat Cleveland in the final week of the season, they clinch the division. Now, they can clinch it earlier, but it'll take everything going perfectly for them. If Cincinnati wins and everybody else loses, then Cincinnati clinches. But otherwise, if Cleveland wins or if Cincinnati loses, then it's going to come down to that last week there and be all up to them to win the division. Let's look at the other playoff picture. You know, the AFC, Miami's, you know, making that run. Right now, Indianapolis is getting better right now as well. Of course, Carson Wentz is in the COVID protocols. I don't trust anybody in the North outside of Cincinnati, and I think they're a dark horse as well. I don't trust anybody in the West outside of Kansas City right now also. Who's your dark horse AFC team or teams?
I don't really expect anybody to come out of the dark horse spot, but if I was going to pick one, it would be a team that we thought earlier would be good, and that would be Baltimore. You never know. They've got talent. They've won some very close games. If somebody was going to make a surprising run, and I don't even know that they'll be a wild card, but if they are, and somebody was going to make a run from the bottom, I'd have to think maybe Baltimore.
Baltimore. That's an interesting name. I didn't expect that one to peak right now. I'm not sure that Lamar's style works in current day playoff football to get to the Super Bowl, but I don't trust Baltimore at all. They've exceeded my expectations already this year, being 8-7. So that says a lot about what I thought about them coming into the season. I think, you know, teams like Indianapolis, Tennessee, honestly, if Derrick Henry comes back, all of a sudden changes how everybody looks at them. But Miami is a team I'm keeping my eye on as well. Miami and Cincinnati would probably be my dark horses for the playoffs. I think Kansas City's still my favorite coming out of the AFC right now. Let's go to the NFC. We've already got five teams that have clinched a playoff spot, which leaves two spots left. San Francisco and Philadelphia currently in the lead for those spots. Atlanta, New Orleans, Minnesota in the running as well. I think it's San Francisco and Philly. There is your last two spots in the NFC. Do you agree with that, or do you think it's other teams?
That's who it should be. Yes, I would agree. But again, you know, Philly's been so up and down. You just don't know. And San Francisco has struggled a little bit at the end. I thought they were a sure thing to be in. And, again, they got a game they should win this week. But it'll be interesting. You know, it's going to come down there at the end. I don't know if it's guaranteed that they'll be the wild cards. But, I think San Francisco and Philly are the safe bets.
Talk about the dark horse teams. We already talked about the confidence in the Packers and Tampa. Who would be the dark horse team out of the NFC?
And I right now, the way they're playing, I don't know, but I think the dark horse would be Arizona. They were good earlier, and, I guess they could go on a run. Losing Hopkins has seemed to really hurt them in a lot of ways. I assume that took a lot of the defenses had to really cover him or whatever, and now it's a little different. Of course, Murray's explosive. I don't know that they'll make a move, but that would be the dark horse team I would pick.
Yeah, I think anybody other than Green Bay and Tampa is dark horse at this point. I know Dallas's record would say otherwise, but in my opinion, either the Rams, the Cardinals out of the West, or Dallas out of the East would be a surprise for most people. I don't know if you can call a 11-4 team a dark horse, but that's what the Rams and the Cowboys are. And I would just be surprised right now if they beat Green Bay and or Tampa Bay to get into the Super Bowl. Arizona, you know, they've had a great road record. They've had a great division record, but they've been really bad at home. And it doesn't look like they're going to get a home game in the playoffs anyways, or at least if they do, it's only week one. I mean, Los Angeles is a team we looked at the beginning of the year where you're talking about Matt Stafford now at quarterback. They've got a lot of really solid talent across the board. But, man, O'Day, I just don't trust them at all. But again, they've got a coach who's been there, and they've got some really talented players as well. So I'm going to say Dallas is my dark horse, and some people won't say, well, they can't be a dark horse. They are in my book. Dallas will be my dark horse in the NFC there as well. But I think it's San Francisco and Philly. You know, Minnesota plays Green Bay this week. That doesn't look great for them. New Orleans doesn't have a quarterback. Atlanta is struggling all different places. San Francisco has the most complete. Let's talk about San Francisco, Dan. Trey Lance era. Looks like it's getting ready to start in San Francisco with the injuries with Jimmy Garoppolo. Do you think that he's been able to sit all season so far? Is that going to come out and be a good thing for them? Or are we looking at a failure here from San Francisco in the last couple weeks?
It'll be interesting to see how they use him. Because I think it could be tough coming in at this point, the way they've played with Garoppolo. Now they could just try to keep the same style and everything. But Lawrence is a little more explosive in some ways, so they may try some different things. Be interesting to see. Of course, they've got, you know, some good receivers. I don't know how well he'll do these last, you know, couple games. We'll see.
Now, a few years back, Patrick Mahomes was a rookie. He sat all season, but Alex Smith sat the last game of the year. They let Mahomes come in and play. He looked great. They put Smith back into the playoffs, of course. But, you know, I think having the opportunity to sit and learn, hopefully he's asking questions. Hopefully he's been teachable, coachable, those kind of things. In my opinion, it's his chance to come in and just take the job where there's no question about it. He's the guy of the future in San Francisco. That doesn't mean he has to win a Super Bowl. It just means he has to look halfway decent, as good and better than Jimmy Garoppolo. And Garoppolo's looked okay, but he definitely hasn't looked like a Super Bowl quarterback, in my opinion, at least, here in the rest of this season as well. Speaking of quarterbacks, let's talk about Joe Burrow in Cincinnati. I had a question about him. I got asked in a radio interview this week, and it started getting me thinking about his place in the NFL right now and where you look at him right now. In my opinion, I think he's a top three or four quarterback in the NFL. I've got Rodgers and Mahomes above him. I probably put Brady above him as well, but I've got him right there with the Josh Allen, Russell Wilson, Justin Herbert kind of level. And I think I would take him over those quarterbacks. So I've got Joe Burrow number four currently on my NFL quarterbacks list. What about you?
Well, I think if you're looking at potential, yes, Burrow is up in that category. If you look at exactly where they're playing right now, I don't think he's quite that high. I kind of broke down the quarterbacks, and I'd have him at about number nine. But he'd be very close. He'd be very close with these guys. He's not far off. But I definitely don't think he's where, you know, Josh Allen is at all. And, I mean, I had Rodgers, Mahomes, Brady, and Allen at the top. And then the next four guys would be Stafford, Russell Wilson, Lamar Jackson, and Murray, and then Burrow right there after that. You know, Burrow easily will be better, I think, maybe than all four of those guys I have ahead of him. But I wouldn't say he's there this year. Now, he's had an explosive game a time or two, but, you know, I don't know. Of course, he's got great weapons, and he's made good use of that.
So here'd be my pushback to you. First of all, Lamar Jackson this year is not a top eight quarterback. He's been horrendous this year. Now, I'm not saying he won't come back. I'm not saying he won't be better. Those kinds of things. I like Lamar Jackson, but this year he's been bad. Kyler Murray, I understand. He's a guy I thought about as well. I put him in that same category. I just don't trust him as much as I trust Joe Burrow. Same with Matt Stafford. I'm a Matt Stafford fan, but I would take Joe Burrow 7 days a week over Matt Stafford, even right now. I just think he is a phenomenal quarterback. He throws the ball. He's mobile. He doesn't run like Josh Allen does, but he's way better of a thrower than Josh Allen, again, in my opinion. And he doesn't have the strength, the arm strength that Josh Allen has, but he puts the ball where it needs to be on time. He's accurate. In my opinion, he's better than Josh Allen right now. So if I was trying to draft a quarterback or pick a quarterback out of these teams, I would take Burrow over Josh Allen right now. I would take him over Kyler, although I would have to think hard about it. And I'd take him over, you know, Russell Wilson's really good. And I'm probably undervaluing Russell Wilson in this exercise, but I don't know. I feel pretty confident with Joe Burrow at number four. And I'd definitely jump him above on your list. I'd make a huge argument against Lamar Jackson this year, the way Lamar Jackson's played. And then I would, like I said, I would boost him over Stafford. I'd boost him over Kyler would be the one that I'd have to think hard about on that list, in my opinion. What makes Josh Allen that much better of a quarterback than Joe Burrow?
I mean, I just think he is. When you look at what he has, I think he's a little further along than Burrow is. Will Burrow overtake him? Maybe he will, but it looks like Josh Allen's going to have a great career. And, they may end up being pretty close to equals. But, I mean, if I had to pick a quarterback for next year, it'd be hard for me to pick Burrow over Josh Allen. I could pick Burrow over some of these other guys probably looking for next year. But it's interesting that both of us have Burrow above Dak Prescott, which I think he definitely is. But I'm a little surprised on that.
Yeah, I like Dak Prescott. He, again, I think there's in that same tier, there's so many guys that I would put in there. All the guys that you mentioned, Dak Prescott, I think, would be in that tier as well. I just trust Burrow. I think Burrow's just a better player. I trust him more than I trust those other guys. And again, it's just an opinion, but it's what the opinion that I have. Speaking of quarterbacks, Davis Mills comes in to Houston last week and surprises pretty much everybody. Played really good football. Coming out of college, you know, in the draft, there was a lot of talk about Davis Mills, that he might be the second, or not the second, but the first of the quarterbacks taken after the first round, and some even had him higher up into the first round than where he eventually got drafted. Sitting there at Houston, and Houston, you're coming into a draft, an interesting draft this year. Not great quarterbacks in the draft. Deshaun Watson probably on the move. How much confidence do you have in Davis Mills? Could he be the future of the Houston Texans, or at least, the next 3-4 years where he gives them enough where they can build a team before finding the eventual, future of the franchise? Could Davis Mills be that bridge quarterback at the very least?
I think he possibly could. I think he's definitely be one they'll give a shot to, and you'd have to look and see. Again, it's going to depend what they can do in the offseason with getting some other players around just to help in all areas of their team. But, I mean, I think you'll have to admit Houston's been surprising. They have not been the doormat. They're not high necessarily in their record, but they've been much more competitive than I would have thought they would be.
When you look at, one of the big talks is Deshaun Watson getting traded to Philadelphia in the offseason. So let's say they move him for Jalen Hurts. Would you play Jalen Hurts over Davis Mills?
I don't know. I mean, I think Hurts has proved he can play quarterback. It might be an interesting battle. I don't know. And I don't know if they want to put two quarterbacks in a real competitive situation.
Yeah, you want to get better, I would hope. But, I don't know. That's an interesting one. I mean, at this point, I would take Hurts over Davis Mills. But maybe we'll see something out of Davis Mills these next 2 weeks where he continues that consistency And maybe there's an opportunity for him down the road here in Houston to be a, you know, a solid quarterback that gets to play and compete for the starting job for the next several years. I don't know. Speaking of quarterbacks now, not only the new ones, but the old ones, Ben Roethlisberger basically says, this is it for me. This will be my last game, home game in Pittsburgh this week. And everybody says, I sure hope so. The way he's looked this year, Roethlisberger, you know, he comes into a draft with Philip Rivers and Eli Manning, wins a Super Bowl early on in his career. He has a lot of success, especially early in his career, a lot of good stats as his career went on. He had some legal issues, some society issues and whatnot from there. You know, when all said and done, is Roethlisberger a first ballot Hall of Famer?
I think he'll definitely be a Hall of Famer. You know, whether he's a first ballot, you know, not for sure. I would think there's a good chance of it.
Yeah, I mean, you win a. Did he win two Super Bowls or just the one? I'm trying to remember now.
I think two.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I should know that, but I'm trying to think through. I remember he played against Green Bay. He played against Arizona as well. But anyways, you know, I don't like Ben Roethlisberger. I haven't liked Ben Roethlisberger for a very long time. I think he's made some improvements in his life, which I applaud, but he clearly should not have been playing this year. I mean, they should have moved on already, but they don't really, it doesn't seem like they have anybody in house that can be the guy there in Philadelphia or in Pittsburgh moving forward. So, you know, I mean, Mason Rudolph's not the guy. Dwayne Haskins doesn't appear to be the guy. So I don't know. It'll be interesting to see if they do. I think they're a possible landing spot for a big-time free agent quarterback here this offseason as well. Something to watch for on there. I did take a Twitter poll on Davis Mills as well, asking the confidence level that Houston should have in him being their quarterback of the future. 30% of the voters said 75% confidence. 30% also said less than 25% confidence. 21% said 50% confidence and 19% said 100% confidence. I don't have 100% confidence in Davis Mills being the quarterback of the future in Houston. And I probably have less than 25%, honestly, as well. All right. Let's get into our pick six this week. We were on fire last week, both of us getting five of our six picks correct. So as a show, 10 out of 12 picks. We nailed. So congratulations, Dad, and congratulations, Vince, on those picks as well. Let's get into our pick sixes this week, and it's an interesting week ahead. That's going to really start to clear up a lot of the playoff picture, especially in the AFC, but we will see. Let's start with our picks, Dad. Most of the games on Sunday, one game on Monday, unless some of them get moved. And then we've got a Sunday night game that we'll be watching, Green Bay and Minnesota. Let's get your first pick of the week, of your pick six.
I will take, like you said last week, I take the favorites a lot, but I have several underdogs this week. So okay. I'm sorry, I'll start out with Miami and the points against Tennessee.
Miami and the points, 3.5 points to be exact. They are 3.5 point underdogs against Tennessee. Tennessee at home in this game. I picked this game as well, Dad. Explain your pick, why you feel that confidently about Miami.
Well, I think Miami's on a roll. I've heard a lot of talk this week about, you know, Miami has not beaten good teams. So we will see how that goes. But if Miami's going to make a move, then and I think Tennessee's a team that can be beat. So, you know, that's why I went with Miami.
Yeah, Miami's hot. Tennessee is not. Tennessee's not good. They're just not. I don't care what anybody says. I know what their record is. They're not good. They're not a legit playoff team. They don't have the talent on the team as it currently sits. Without Derrick Henry, they don't have an identity, and they're just not good. Now, can they win? Sure. Will they win? I don't think so. I picked Miami as well. 3.5 point underdog. Surprised me to see Miami at 3.5 points. That really, really surprised me. So I jumped on that immediately. I picked Miami as well. Game number two for you.
I'll take Indianapolis over Las Vegas. Now, again, it could be a little iffy here depending on the quarterback situation. But, again, Indianapolis is on the move. Las Vegas still has a chance to stay in the playoffs. but went with Indianapolis to cover on this one.
All right. So that number right now is at -7. I went the opposite way on you on this one, Dad. I, especially with the Wentz situation, Sam Ehlinger not going to beat Las Vegas by a touchdown. And I went Vegas on this one. So we're opposite ends here. You go Indy -7 favorite. I went Vegas +7 underdog. And my thing here is just, it's just not the spot for Indianapolis to be able to blow out Vegas. Can they beat him? I suppose they can. I mean, Jonathan Taylor is the key there in Indianapolis right now. But I think Vegas can at least make this one close, if not get the win here this week, is kind of the way I'm looking at this one. Game number three. So far, we've picked the same games.
I'll take Arizona and the points over Dallas.
Okay, I did not pick this one. What gives you – I mean, look, I haven't seen that one. Let me look real quick. That's so Arizona's a 6-point underdog to Dallas. Give me your thoughts on that one.
Well, again, Arizona, I mean, if they just keep losing here, this is going to be amazing. So, I think they're hurting without Hopkins, but I think if they're going to come into a game where they have to win, now Dallas still has a shot at getting, you know, home field, so they're going to be, you know, ready to play also. But I think Arizona can beat them, or at least could get within a field goal, and that would work on this one.
Man, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if Arizona covers this game, which is what we're picking, but I would be shocked if they win, honestly, at Dallas. That would surprise me. Needless to say, I did not pick that game there. I wouldn't be surprised if Arizona covers, though. They desperately need the win. There's no doubt about that. I'm just not sure that they're there. I mean, I don't know that if you look at the end of this season, the way this is ending as it currently looks, if you look at it and have confidence that Cliff Kingsbury can lead you to a Super Bowl, because that's where my doubts come in right there. It's not in Kyler Murray. It's not in the talent level. They'll get Hopkins back in the playoffs, supposedly. So maybe they can make a run, but I don't trust the coach there. All right, who's your fourth game this week?
I have got Detroit over Detroit and the points against Seattle.
Yeah, Detroit 7-point underdog. I am all over that one as well. I've been on Detroit now for weeks. They've been able to keep games close. And when I see a touchdown difference here against a bad Seattle team, I was excited to hop on that one too. Detroit, they play hard. They don't stop. They keep going all game, and they're not going to win games, a whole lot of them at least, but they're going to play hard. And for that reason, I picked Detroit as well, 7-point underdogs to Seattle. Your fifth game.
What was your third game? Because you didn't take the Arizona-Dallas game.
I'm going to come back to it. I'm going to hear yours first, and then I'll give mine.
All right, that'll be fine. And I'll take Houston and the points against San Francisco. That's a lot of points. I think San Francisco will win. They should win, but I'll take Houston.
All right, so I've got Houston at 12.5-point underdogs to San Francisco. I avoided as many of those double-digit ones this week as possible, so I did not pick this game either. You know, Dave, we just talked about Davis Mills possibly going against Trey Lance this week, and either San Francisco is going to be phenomenal or Houston's going to keep it close. It's not going to be, you know, a 10-point game, I don't think. I think it'll either be a blowout or it'll be a close game. I was scared to death of this one and staying as far away from this one as possible. Who's your sixth game?
Be Philadelphia to cover against the Washington football team.
Yeah, Philadelphia 3-point favorite. I went with them as well over Washington. I think Philadelphia's making their run. I think that there's no reason for them to not make the playoffs. Washington, you know, they're an interesting team, but they just don't have the ability right now. They've not been playing well either. They've got injured defense. The offense has not been performing like it should. Philadelphia, again, in desperate need of a win. I think Philadelphia gets this one as well. So I picked Philadelphia -3 also. So I've got two games that you didn't pick. I've got the Los Angeles Rams, 4.5-point favorites over Baltimore. I don't like what Baltimore looks like right now. It scares me that they're just going to kind of fold for the season. And even though if they win, they're still in the hunt. But I think the Rams trying to seal up the West Division take this game, and I think they take it convincingly as well. Your thoughts on the Rams versus Baltimore?
Well, I almost took that game, and I do think the Rams, but again, the Rams have scared me. They haven't, you know, played great at times, and Baltimore, again, when it looks like they're dead, all of a sudden, you know, they come up and they stay in a lot of games close. So this game scared me. I just stayed away from it.
I want to give a shout out to Blaine. He's listening on Colorcast right now. He says, Dallas is on a roll. That offense is potent. Just needs the defense to show up. The story of Dallas Cowboys' most recent seasons, right? I think Dan Quinn's done an excellent job. He may be working his way into a head coaching job again with the way that he's played, done well with this defense in Dallas for sure. Then, Dad, my last game that I picked was the New York Football Giants. 6-point underdog to the Chicago Bears. Duh, Bears. Do we trust the Bears to do anything good? We don't. For that reason alone, we go with the Giants, 6-point underdog in Chicago. So I've taken the Giants at 6 points underdogs, Miami at 3.5-point underdogs, Vegas 7-point underdogs, Lions 7-point underdogs, and then the Rams at 4.5-point favorites, Philadelphia at -3 as my picks. Dad, you got Miami, 3.5-point dog, Arizona 6-point dog, Indianapolis the touchdown favorite, Detroit the touchdown underdog, Houston 12.5-point underdog, and Philly -3. Those are interesting picks. We'll see if we can continue our hot streak here this week as we get in towards the end. Dad, your fantasy football team that you're playing me, like we talked about that at the beginning of the show. You know, I'm looking at this matchup right now. Now I understand why you're talking so good about Matt Stafford. You desperately need him this week in your fantasy football team. So I'm starting to understand a little bit more now. You've got Nick Chubb, Stephon Diggs, Kittle. Those are all superstars. But then you got some guys in here. Jamal Williams. No, that's not Jamal Williams. That's from Denver, the rookie running back, Williams. Yeah. You've got the Detroit Browns, Amon-Ra St. Brown. And then you got Green Bay's Alan Lazard. Those are guys that they could win it for you, right? But otherwise, you could be looking at some duds this week as well.
Yeah, well, this league, compared to the two, I'm not strong in this league. I'm a little surprised I got into the championship. I needed Kittle and Stafford to have big weeks last week. They did not. But the receiver from Detroit did, and Chubb did. And I scored pretty good, 140, you know, from there. I haven't scored super great in this league. Again, I may change that lineup around a little bit. We'll see from there. But, you know, probably nothing drastic. We'll see.
Yeah, and this is a keeper league. I absolutely love my roster, and it's given me a good season. I got Aaron Rodgers at quarterback, Aaron Jones, and Michael Carter, the Jets running back, at running backs. Jefferson from Minnesota, Jalen Waddle, who's been a phenomenal play this year. Andrews at tight end. Then I got Dwayne Harris as my flex player. And as long as he's healthy, he's been decent this year, too. I feel good about beating you this week, Dad.
Again, this will be a little surprise if I win, but we'll see. The other league I'm a little stronger in.
Yeah, yeah. The other league you are. I'm not going to talk about that, though, because I'm not in that one. Let's talk about the NFL Hall of Fame. They came out with the 15 finalists: Jared Allen, Willie Anderson, Rondé Barber, Tony Boselli, Leroy Butler. For those of you casual fans out there, Leroy Butler is the one who started the Lambeau Leap. He was the first one to ever do it. And he gets credit for it, but that's not why he's in the Hall of Fame list. He was a phenomenal safety, and he should get in. Devin Hester, Torrey Holt, Andre Johnson, Sam Mills, Richard Seymour, Zach Thomas, DeMarcus Ware, Reggie Wayne, Patrick Willis, Bryant Young. An interesting crew, Dad. I don't know that too many of them are superstars, but all of them obviously incredibly good NFL careers. Some of them short NFL careers. Thinking like Patrick Willis, for instance. He retired early on after a pretty short career, but he was phenomenal when he was healthy there in San Francisco as a linebacker. We saw a lot of Jared Allen, He played at Minnesota, and that's where we saw a lot of him at as well. Some great receivers, Torrey Holt, Andre Johnson in there as well, Reggie Wayne. I don't know. What's your thoughts on these finalists?
Well, again, I think it's very, very close. I don't believe there's anybody. You know, some years there's one or two guys. Well, you know, it's their first chance to get in. You know they're going to get in last year with Peyton and Woodson. We definitely don't have that on this list. Oh, I think it'll be very close. I think they're all, you know, about equally deserving. I don't know that I see any of them that is really way below the others. There's a couple I probably wouldn't put as high. But overall, yeah, I think it should be a real interesting vote. And I think Leroy has a good chance to get in on this one.
I'd love for him too. I'm not sure if he will or not. Sam Mills is kind of the guy I look at and go, I'm not sure that I'd put him above some of these other guys on the list. What about Devin Hester? I mean, he's going on as a kick returner. He, you know, never made it really as a receiver, never made it as a corner as he came into the league. But he was a phenomenal return man, punt and kick returns. And, you know, I'm not sure that he gets in this year. I would assume he gets in at some point. But does he deserve to be in the Hall of Fame?
I think so. When I looked at this list, I had three guys that kind of jumped out, and he was one of them. He was a phenomenal returner. I don't think there's any doubt about that. We've had punters get in the Hall of Fame, a specialist. And, I mean, Hester was a guy that, you know, if you didn't kick away from him, then, you know, at any point in time, he could hurt you. So I think he deserves to get in.
Yeah, I'm sure Tony Dungy would say he deserves to get in as the Super Bowl against the Bears. He kicked it right to him to start the game and touchdown Chicago. So, yeah, that was interesting. Who are the other two on the three that jumped out?
Well, I think Leroy Butler should get in, and I think Tony Boselli. I remember him as an offensive lineman, and I think he would be one that should. I guess the other guy, Zach Thomas, I think, you know, was a real game changer. That one made sense. The receivers are all, you know, a couple of them to me are kind of equal with Andre Johnson and Reggie Wayne, Torrey Holt there. Any of those would be fine. Bryant Young was quite the defensive lineman, no doubt about that. I don't think Seymour is quite in that category with the others. And Jared Allen was real good. I thought he might get in last year, but if I remember right, he didn't do real well in the voting, so I'm not sure how it'll go this year.
I think the offensive linemen, both Willie Anderson and Tony Boselli, are guys that should be in this year. Zach Thomas, I agree with you. I think he pops out as someone who was just great. The receivers, I think Reggie Wayne should. Torrey Holt and Andre Johnson, you know, maybe I need to go back and watch Torrey Holt again. But him being there with Isaac Bruce for a long time kind of overshadowed him, in my opinion. Andre Johnson didn't play enough, didn't win enough. He was great. Don't get me wrong. You know, you look at Calvin Johnson, he didn't win enough, but he was great also. So it makes sense for him to get in, but not this year, I don't think. Rondé Barber, kind of the same thing. He was really good, but over some of these other guys. So I would go Jared Allen. I'd go Willie Anderson. I'd go Tony Boselli. My favoritism would lead to Leroy Butler, but I'm not sure that he's, you know, again, he's from a different generation. So, you know, it'll depend on the voters from there. Zach Thomas, I think, obviously. I was surprised DeMarcus Ware had been out of the league that long. I feel like he was still playing last year. So I was surprised to see him on the list this year as well. But an interesting list, to say the least, here when it comes to the NFL Hall of Fame list. And we'll see that cut down and where that gets to as well. Let's keep talking about the Hall of Fame, Dad, and let's talk about baseball Hall of Fame. There's not a whole lot of baseball news to talk about right now with the lockdown, but the ballots are out and the final ballots are turned in January. And we're getting to the end now of guys like Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens. There's a lot of just question marks around them. Will they make it in, or should they make it in? Those kinds of things. So let's start with Barry Bonds, because you're a Giants fan. Bonds was an electric player, even when he played in Pittsburgh before he bulked up, so to say. Should Barry Bonds make the Hall of Fame? Should steroid users make the Hall of Fame?
Well, I thought about that, you know, this week a little bit. And to me, there either ought to be just a rule or a guideline or not. If the deal is, hey, this guy got caught for steroids, we're not going to put them in the Hall of Fame. But they haven't said that. And I started thinking probably the reason for that is there anybody that's already in the Hall of Fame that ever used steroids? You know, they're not, you know, as far as what we know now, but if they made that rule, is there a chance something would come back at some point? And then again, they don't want to take people out of the Hall of Fame. I think Barry Bonds had a good enough career before the steroid thing came up that, yes, he was a Hall of Fame baseball player. So unless the steroid thing cancels that out, I think it would make sense for him to be in the Hall of Fame. He definitely was a great baseball player.
Yeah, but would you vote for a steroid user to make the Hall of Fame?
I think there either ought to be a guideline.
No. That's not my question. My question is, would you do it?
With him and Clemens, yes, because I think their career apart from steroids was enough to get them in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, that's my question. That's good. We got to it. We finally got to the answer. Yeah, Barry Bonds, I think he deserves to be in. What about Alex Rodriguez?
I was surprised. I saw a poll, you know, of people of how people have already voted or they think they have, and he was pretty far down the list. He was a great player. So I was a little surprised on that.
He was a jerk. He was a great player, but people didn't like him. You know, he was there in the Yankees with Derek Jeter. Everybody loved Jeter, but Rodriguez, people didn't like him. That's going to play into it some as well. Yeah, you know, Curt Schilling is an interesting one. He gets knocked because he was a conservative and a wacko, to be honest with you. I'm a conservative, but I don't feel like I'm a wacko. But Schilling has said some really stupid things along the way. When you look at this list of guys on the Hall of Fame voting ballot, who would you vote for on this ballot to be in the Hall of Fame?
I think it'd be Bonds and Clemens and I guess Ortiz.
And Ortiz, yeah. Those would be the only three guys you'd vote for?
I think, though, from looking at it, from there, I think that's the safe ones from that end.
It's a weird group. It's a really weird group of guys. It's like a lot of guys that are on. They were all very good. Not a lot of great guys. You know, Jeff Kent, good, but I never considered him great. Todd Helton's a guy that I would fight for. I feel like Todd Helton is a Hall of Fame caliber baseball player. Played great baseball and was a great person as well. I would say Todd Helton. I would say Bonds. I would say Clemens as well. Gary Sheffield would pique my interest. And then Ortiz would definitely be a guy I'd vote for as well. What about Manny Ramirez? I know I'm just asking you. I've already asked you who it would be and you told me, but Manny Ramirez, your thoughts on his career?
I haven't kept up with recent baseball players as much. Again, I know the name and I know he's had a great career, but I wouldn't know enough about him to put him in.
The end of his career was so unceremonial. I think that hurts him in these votes as well. You know, it's just one of those things. Tim Lincecum, Scott Rolen. Justin Morneau. I don't know. These are interesting names. We're going to bring on our friend Graham Wallace closer to the ballot, finalizing the Hall of Fame votes and everything. And we'll talk to him, get his thoughts on those things in the times to come as well. Let's transition to college football and talk about the playoffs because they're finally happening. We're finally going to see them before our next episode. We'll get to the NCAA football playoffs, Michigan versus Georgia, Alabama versus Cincinnati. Let's start with Alabama-Cincinnati. The line has held pretty steady, 13.5-point favorite for Alabama being played tomorrow afternoon against Cincinnati in the Cotton Bowl. I just look at this game, and, Dad, I feel bad for Cincinnati before kickoff. I just don't think they're going to be able to hold a cup of tea against Alabama. What do you think?
No, I think Alabama, you know, should control the game, and I think they will control the game. If Cincinnati has nothing to lose. nobody, I mean, around here, a lot of excitement, obviously, where I live about Cincinnati, about the Bearcats. But if you talk about a team that can play loose and they do have some talent, but I don't think in the long run they'll be able to hang with Alabama. And because I think Saban will have them ready to play where they can't, you know, get caught. But that would be the only thing, is just, you know, overconfidence and things, every break going Cincinnati's way.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think Alabama's in the finals. Let's look at Michigan, Georgia. Georgia's a 7.5-point favorite as it sits currently. They play tomorrow night. There's been a lot of controversy over the quarterback at Georgia. Stetson Bennett seems to be the guy there. You know, Georgia was so good this year. Their defense was so good this year. They looked so bad against Alabama. What do you expect the game to be like against Michigan?
Well, I don't know. I think this game, COVID's affecting both teams, if I've heard right about this game, and that could be sad because I don't think they'll – I don't know that either one will be at full strength. You know, Michigan will have a lot of drive, no doubt about that. Georgia, I think their motivation would be to get another shot at Alabama. So I don't know. I'd be for Georgia, but that could be a real interesting game. I have no idea how that one will go.
Yeah, it's just so hard to figure out, right? What's it going to be like there for Georgia? Can they come out and play offensively decent enough? And what will Michigan look like? I mean, I just don't know what we're going to see out of Michigan tomorrow night. It could be a great game, or it could be Georgia just dominates the whole game and we're looking at Alabama, Georgia. And I got to tell you, I'm an SEC fan. I don't want to see Alabama, Georgia. I'd love to see Georgia, Cincinnati. Boy, I don't know if I can live. I don't know if I can live with Michigan fans if they made the championship, you know, all of a sudden being the greatest football program ever, even though they stunk last year. You know, I saw a thing on Twitter today that said Jim Harbaugh brought the Michigan from an unranked team to a college football playoffs. Like, well, he's the one that ran them into the ground to the way they were an unranked team. I'm not sure why we're giving them so much credit here, but yeah. They've done a good job. They've made it work. They're in the playoffs. And it's an interesting game, to say the least. If you had to put your life savings on it, you said Alabama, Georgia in the finals?
Yes. Yeah, I would think that's pretty safe.
All right. Well, we'll see. We'll talk about it again next week after the games are over and give you our reactions to those as well. I've just been informed that if you're listening to us on ColorCast, you've not been able to hear Dad as he talks. So we'll work on that in the future episodes to get that fixed. But thank you for tuning in still. We are live on Facebook and on YouTube. You can jump over there for the remainder of this show. Dad, I want to close the show today talking about the University of Kentucky basketball program and Coach John Calipari. He's an interesting guy. He's been good for the university. He's been great in recruiting and getting people here and those sorts of things. From there. But the more I think about Cal, I feel like this season is a legacy defining season for him. If he does not win a championship this year, I think his legacy is different than what most people think it might be as you look ahead. When you look at, let me ask you, Dad, who's the greatest college basketball coach of all time?
It'd have to be John Wooden.
Yeah, typically you're looking at John Wooden. You probably talk about Dean Smith a little bit. Krzyzewski's probably mentioned in there to some degree as well. I think that's where Cal thinks he is. But if he doesn't win another championship this year with the great roster that he has, I think he's going to be more down in the Bill Self range than the John Wooden range of things. And I don't think you probably wouldn't put him, and I wouldn't either, in the John Wooden range necessarily. But I think a lot of times you think, well, John Calipari, surely he's been a great coach, and surely he's a guy that goes, you know, and becomes this Coach Krzyzewski type guy and all those sorts of things. But I just don't know. you're an outsider when it comes to Kentucky basketball. What's your view of John Calipari as a coach, not as a recruiter?
I mean, again, to me, Kentucky, he's made Kentucky a very, you know, dominant program since he has been there. So from that standpoint, again, you know, I'm not in Lexington and my expectations wouldn't be where people are, like, or even maybe what yours would be. But to me, Kentucky has become a power team every year, and it's been since he's been there.
Well, yeah, I guess. I mean, they haven't been a power team last year when they missed the tournament. They weren't a power team when they had Nerlens Noel on the roster because they missed the tournament. This is definitely a program that should be more successful than they have been, in my opinion, at the very least. I mean, you look at them, you go, okay, they've made some Final Fours. They've been successful compared to most programs, but they've won one national championship under Coach Cal. And you look at the players that have come through this program, that's just inexcusable. Now, they had the great year against Wisconsin where they lost in the Final Four to Wisconsin. They were undefeated. And you lose a game, and I'm not going to hold that against them losing one game in the season. But when you cannot win championships in a program like Kentucky with the talent that he's had at Kentucky, to me, like I said, his legacy goes more in the Bill Self range than in the Dean Smith range. And he's a guy who could be one of the greatest coaches of all time, but I think he's proving that he's not one of the greatest coaches of all time. And he's the greatest recruiter, maybe the greatest recruiter of all time. Because since he's been at Kentucky, he hasn't been caught cheating. It's not to say that someday he won't be, but he hasn't been to this point. He's brought in some amazing talent. He produces some great NBA guys. He needs to produce some championships as well. Would you put him, a tier or two below the greatest coaches, college coaches of all time?
Well, I don't know. I started thinking about that as we started talking about it. I don't think he's in the category with the very top coaches. Like you said, is he where Bob Knight was? I don't think so. Is he where Digger Phelps was? Not sure about that. And I'd have to think back about other coaches, but a lot of them are going to come to mind as we go along. I don't know he is quite at that level. He would be just below it, and he might end up being up in that category. John Thompson, is he better than John Thompson? You know, I don't know. I think that would be kind of a question. To me, I don't know that I put him in the category with those five or six guys.
Yeah, it's we got a comment here on ColorCast, and I know, again, you can't hear my co-host, and so you didn't hear all the stuff he just said, but it says Cal's in the same recruiting-wise in basketball as Saban is in football, which I agree with, but he's not the same in coaching. And so he is a great recruiter. He brings in some great skills, and thanks to the guys from High Low Sports for commenting and listening. Dad, I put him in the same category as Bobby Knight. You said he's not. That's the category I'd put him in. Right there with Bobby Knight. Bobby Knight won what, two championships, I think, in Indiana, and went to the Final Four and had some really successful years. But, you know, when you look at Bobby Knight, unless you're from Indiana, and you're from Illinois, from that general region, so he was a big deal. But I don't know. To me, they're similar in their coaching successes because Cal's been successful. I mean, you look at some colleges across the America, and they would say, boy, if we could have what Kentucky's had these last 10, 11 years with Cal, boy, we'd be ecstatic. But at Kentucky, we expect more. And some people say, well, you shouldn't. I do. He's got a top three recruiting class every year, and he's had the top recruiting class several years. There should be more from him, you know, for sure, moving forward. I just think this year defines a lot for him. You missed the tournament last year. Because, and his excuse is COVID, and we had all these new players. They didn't have a chance for a normal offseason. Well, you're the coach. You're supposed to figure it out. And he didn't last year. He couldn't get his superstars to play like superstars. He wouldn't play the people who could actually score because the superstars had to be on the floor. This year, he's got veterans on the team, so he doesn't have the same excuses of all these little freshmen playing. And they've so far so good for the most part for Kentucky. They looked great against North Carolina. They looked good against Missouri to open the conference play. They have the chance to win this year, but I think it's just a legacy defining year for Coach Calipari here at UK. And, tomorrow they're honoring Tubby Smith. A lot of people were ready for Tubby to go when they fired Tubby. We used to have the chant, drain the tub. But overall, Tubby was a great person. And he did bring championship to Kentucky as well. But I think this is a legacy-defining year for Coach Cal. I'm interested to see how it plays out and what it's like moving forward for him as well. All right, Dad. Good show. I'm sorry that ColorCast, we didn't have it figured out for you. We will get it. We will get it figured out. But, Dad, I sure appreciate you coming on again and being a part of the show as always. I thought we had a great conversation today. And, you know, I just realized something, Dad. Okay, final thoughts that you have for the football games this weekend, college football, pro football, anything like that?
Well, I just want to tell everybody Happy New Year. I appreciate everybody watching or listening and watching to the podcast. And I encourage you to come back for the first episode coming up in the new year, because I think we'll prove once again that the Sports Stove podcast is on the cutting edge of sports information. I have an NFL stat that I'm going to unveil on the next podcast. I tried to find it. I couldn't find where anybody had come up with it. So I did some research, and I'm going to have a interesting stat about the NFL, and we'll break that out on the next podcast.
All right. So Dad says first episode of the new year, we are coming to you with innovative stat, NFL stat. Is that what you said?
NFL,
An NFL stat that only he has found. He's not heard anyone else proclaim it or post it. Of course, he's not on Twitter. But so you got to tune in the first live episode of the new year for that stat. I don't know what it is, so I'm excited and anticipating that as well. We always have our local hour comes out Wednesday mornings, covering EKU sports, so you can tune into that. We have players and coaches on each week with that. Then I encourage you to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Sports Stove, and you can also find us on YouTube and Facebook as well. We sure appreciate you tuning in. We will be doing our live shows on ColorCast. We'll do ColorCast, Facebook, and YouTube moving forward, and we'll work hard to get the audio stuff figured out for you ColorCast listeners, but thank you for tuning in there as well. And we're excited to see what's ahead for the show. Thank you so much for the great year. We've had some great guests on this year, and looking forward to what's ahead in the new year as well. So thank you for tuning in. I hope you had a great Christmas and a happy new year. Until next time in the year 2022, we'll see you around the Sports Stove.